We'll begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week beginning Christmas Eve 2004, this is the Rain Report, Ham Radio's audio feature magazine of the Internet. I'm Norm Seeley, KI7UP. Part 1 of this week's program is still available as last week's program on rainreport.com, thanks to audio bandwidth being underwritten by CQ Communications. This week, Hap Holly, KC9RP, concludes his look at the evolution of CQ Magazine with its editor, Rich Moseson, W2VU. CQ Magazine began its 60-year run as a viable ham radio publication in January 1945 in the thick of World War II. According to Moseson, in the 1990s, CQ had a baby of sorts.
Back in the mid-1990s, we were looking at a way to try to get more new hams involved more in the community part of amateur radio, not just using it as a personal communication system for talking to their friends or just talking on the local repeater, but getting involved in clubs and activities and magazines. It was a trend that had been pretty clear throughout the early and mid-1990s that our numbers of licensees were going up, but you weren't seeing a proportional increase in ARRL membership, CQ circulation, club membership, and we were looking for a way to introduce newer hams. We did a survey in, I guess it was 95, of people who had been licensed over the last couple of years, trying to find out what they would want in a beginner's magazine. And what they told us was that they didn't want a beginner's magazine. They wanted a VHF magazine because most of the new hams then as now were coming in as technicians and really had no idea what they could do outside of working the local repeater. That was the birth of CQ VHF, and we published it monthly until the end of 1999. When I became editor of CQ, I found it impossible to do two magazines at once, and CQ VHF was just barely holding its own financially. We decided that rather than trying to clone me or hire somebody for a magazine that might not last more than another year, that the best thing to do would be to merge it into CQ. And we did that as of the January 2000 issue of CQ. This did not sit well with a lot of the CQ VHF readers. For 2 years, we were getting nonstop requests, complaints, comments from people at HamFest in the mail about bringing back CQ VHF. When it became obvious that the requests were not going to stop, we started looking at ways to do it economically. We were able to start republishing the magazine in 2003 as a quarterly, and it's been quite successful as a quarterly, 2 full years that it's been in publication.
Well, Rich, 60 years, January of 2005. That's a long time, a long run, and it's a successful one. How is CQ going to commemorate the 60th anniversary?
Well, we're doing a few things, some in the magazine and some on the air. We're not going to have the all-out big issue that we had 10 years ago for our 50th anniversary, but we're going to have at least one feature every month related to the 60th anniversary. At the very least, we're going to have something called 60 Great Things About Ham Radio, and we're splitting that up over 12 months. First five are going to be in the January issue, and they're going to be in every issue after that. I'm hoping to, over the course of the year, do some updates on some of the history features that we had back in our 50th anniversary issue as we went decade by decade in through the history of CQ and of amateur radio in the world over that first 50-year period. On the air, we are bringing back the CQ Gang Award, which was something we did 10 years ago, which was very successful. For the first 60 days of 2005, from January 1st to March 1st, anyone who has had any association with CQ Magazine, from being a full-time staff member to a columnist or an occasional writer or even a subscriber, is going to be able to sign stroke 60 after their call and get on the air and work other people, and you'll be able to collect points for a certificate for working a certain number of stroke 60 stations. We're also going to be putting our club station WW2CQ on the air from different parts of the country. We're trying to line up people in all 10 U.S. call areas to put WW2CQ on the air during that 60-day period, and we'll have another certificate for people who work that station in every call sign district where it's active.
You're listening to RainReport.com, the only authorized internet source for rain audio.
QST has been made available for quite some time for those who are blind and visually impaired. And World Radio has, although that's because of Tom Carton in Pennsylvania doing it more or less on his own. Is CQ available on the internet in text format? Or is there or has there been thought of making it available in some audio format?
CQ used to be available in Braille through the Library of Congress. This is something I've been looking into over the last several months because we never quite figured out why it stopped. What I've been able to find out is that a few years ago, they had a change in contractors who did the actual work of Brailling magazines. And somehow, in that transition, the fact that CQ was on the list got lost. They didn't tell us because they didn't know we existed. We didn't hear about it from any of our visually impaired readers either. So maybe there weren't too many people reading it in Braille. I don't know. At this point, it's very, very difficult to get back on that list, next to impossible. So we would have to make arrangements ourselves for someone to either read the articles onto audio recordings. Text files would be difficult because the final version of the articles is not in a text-based program. It's in Quark Express, which is a layout program, and we make our final edits once it's in layout. I don't know how easily that can be translated back to text. I just don't know. I know it can be translated to a PDF file, but
they're not all that accessible, unfortunately. These speech screen readers don't handle PDF files very well yet.
I had a feeling they wouldn't because it's basically a picture of the page. That's where we stand on that. We probably haven't been pursuing it as diligently as we should be.
If you were to look into your foggy crystal ball, Rich, what do you see long-term for CQ and for amateur radio as a whole?
Hopefully very long life, because I like being employed and getting a regular paycheck. As far as ham radio itself goes, I am very optimistic about the future of ham radio. I think ham radio is unique. I think it has a sense of magic that you can't approximate really with anything else. It has the unique ability to work when nothing else will, and there will always be a need and a use and interest in ham radio. Everything that has been supposed to kill ham radio for the last 50 years hasn't. If you read back issues of CQ or QST, you'll see letters about the imminent death of ham radio because of, let's start back in the 1950s, the introduction of the novice and technician license. And then along came CB, and then along came computers, and then along came cell phones, and then came the code-free license, and then came the internet. Every 5 to 10 years, there's some new terrible thing that's going to destroy ham radio. As a result, we have more licensed hams today than we've ever had before. So all of these things that are supposed to kill us off continue to not do so. As I like to say, we've been successfully dying for the last 50 years, and I hope we continue to do that for the next 50 years. Will ham radio 30 years from now look like ham radio today? No, no more than ham radio today looks like ham radio 30, 40 years ago. Who would have imagined in the late 1960s, early 1970s, handhelds that could do more than a room full of equipment could in those days? Who could have imagined computers being part of ham stations? Who could have imagined computers? Things like PSK31, digital voice, meteor scatter using programs like WSJT, which basically turn meteor scatter into an everyday communication mode. There's just so much that has changed and will continue to change. I really see a very bright future for ham radio.
Rich Moseson, W2VU, editor of CQ Magazine since 1999. He talked about CQ's illustrious 60 years of publication with Rain's founder, producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP. We wish CQ all the best in forging ahead 60 more years. The Rain Report is copyright 2004. Rain, all rights reserved. I'm Norm Seeley. KI7UP.